But we're going to look toward Christmas. And so as we begin, as I was thinking about this message tonight, it brought me back to just the other night with my wife on Sunday night. And we were sitting down in bed and just considering Advent. The first weekend of Advent is hope. And I just want to stop for a second and just ask, you know, where is your hope? Where is your hope tonight? Hopefully it's not in the Broncos, right? or some of you might have put your hope in the new president that's coming or our nation that could turn around a bit. Or maybe in the holiday season, some of you maybe have some hope in this. Maybe you came in tonight and you were just hoping for something good to come this season, some turnaround, some change. Hope. Hope is the confidence of coming good. And tonight we're going to look at a story that of a man that had hope in the Christmas story. And so if you would, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the story of Simeon. Simeon, I think it's a bad rap in the Christmas season because he is a part of the Christmas story. Simeon is probably one of those guys that is kind of one of the, on the credits when it rolls at the end, it's one of the last ones, you know, Simeon there at the end, right? Because he's the one that's forgotten about. He's not in the manger scene. He's not one of the shepherds. He's not one of the wise men. He's not the main character, Joseph or Mary. He's just Simeon. We don't know much about Simeon other than he could be a substantial man that was a Jewish devout man, but we don't know a whole lot about his life other than he was in the temple and the Holy Spirit had spoken very clearly to him. And tonight we're going to read this because I think it's very profound and it gives us, I think it will help us to see the direction of where we should go during this Christmas season. Tonight we're going to look at three points. One is the hope. The second point, it would be the waiting. And then the third would be the promise. And so if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 25. Verse 25. And it says, "And behold, there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful story of Simeon. We ask that you would come and you would speak to our hearts tonight, that you would allow your Spirit to come and rest upon us, and that you would speak just something very special as we look at the hope that Simeon had and the promise that had come and the beautiful promise that was brought. And so, Lord, would you come and be with us? Lord, we invite you here in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's this moment in Jerusalem, Simeon, a man that is just and devout. He's righteous, so to speak. The word just, it means righteous and devout. He's a devout Jew. He speaks Hebrew. He would go to the temple often. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what is that? There was a Jewish prayer at that time that spoke of saying, may I see the consolation of Israel, speaking of the coming Messiah, the one that they were waiting for. In this next verse, in verse 26, it reveals it and says, and he had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. A promise given to Simeon that he would see the Messiah before his death. Now, we understand in this text because of verse 29 that we believe that Simeon was an older man. And I want you to kind of picture Simeon for a second. Maybe older with a long beard and kind of weathered because of the Romans. And kind of the weight of the world might be upon him, but devout and consistent. Coming into the temple and doing the things that he was to do, but had this hope in the Messiah that he would come and he would set them free, that he would change the situation in Rome. You see, at this time, Simeon was probably, you know, in his 70s, 80s, maybe. And if that were to be true, then that means that Simeon was alive when Israel was taken over in 63 BC. In 63 BC, General Pompey came into Rome, came into Jerusalem, and the Roman guard, the Roman soldiers came and surrounded Jerusalem and sieged it and destroyed Jerusalem and took it captive and killed a number of people during that time. And I could imagine Simeon remembering back to that moment, never forgetting what had happened in Jerusalem. Overwhelmed, maybe taken back because of the weight of what Rome was putting on them. In captivity, so to speak. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know if that's what you feel. Maybe that's maybe a reality in your life. Maybe it's a bleak midwinter for you. And maybe that's what it feels like for Simeon here in this moment. And yet, he had hope. He had hope of the Messiah that would to come, that was to come. The word hope means the confidence of coming good. Oh, I want you to consider that for a second. Like the Broncos, not confident of anything right now, right? But confidence of coming good. Confidence that God is going to do what he said he's going to do, that the Messiah is going to come, the hope that he's going to change things, the hope of salvation, the hope of all the things that we celebrate during this time of year. And Simeon is now sitting in Jerusalem waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it's by the Holy Spirit that he's being stirred. Have you ever been stirred by the Holy Spirit? Oh, I hope you have. I hope that the Holy Spirit has stirred your heart, stirred your life in such a way that you can't deny it. You know what I mean? That moment where you know that God has spoken. Nothing can deter you from understanding that that was the Lord. I hope that you've experienced that. I hope that, and if you haven't, I hope that it's ahead for you. But in this section, we see the Holy Spirit spoken of three times in these next three verses, and that verse 25, 26, and 27. But it says in verse 26 that he had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't see death before he sees the Messiah. Now, I want you to think about Simeon for a second. Maybe he's getting older and he's been waiting for a little while, right? Where is the Messiah, Lord? I don't know when he promised him that. It doesn't say exactly when the Spirit had spoken that to him, but it could have been many, many years before. And in the waiting, he's considering, oh, where is the Messiah, Lord? Could it be that child there? Could it be as he walks into the temple, could it be that little one there? No, not this time. In the waiting, it's hard to wait, isn't it? Simeon had been waiting for a while, believing, hoping for the Messiah to come. Now, I don't like waiting. In the morning, I make my coffee by a little AeroPress, and I grind my beans, and then I make this AeroPress and put the, and then I have to wait. And it kills me every morning. It's like I gotta like wait for the coffee to take, you know, what it needs to do, right? Like you put the hot water in there and you gotta wait because you want it to be just right. But the waiting kills me. I don't want to wait. And sometimes I rush it and I press it really quick, and then it's just not as great as it would have been if I would have just waited. And that's just a few minutes. I mean, how about the wait in the line at Costco? Like literally, like I'll go shopping, right? And you'll get your... You're like, I have three items. And you're looking for the shortest line. And you go, you know what? I'm going to go to the self-checkout line, right? Because you think it's going to be quick, but it's really long. But it's going to be fast. No, it's not fast. You're still going to wait. Those are moments of waiting that aren't very fun. But how about the moment where you were waiting for Christmas when you were a kid? Oh, I remember a few of those special days, right? Those moments where you just stay up all night waiting to get the present the next day. Simeon was waiting for Christmas. He was waiting for Christmas. He was waiting for the Messiah. Something special that was to come, and he didn't have any clue when it would come, but he knew that the Lord would show him. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said... I can imagine Simeon that day goes into the temple by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit into the temple, and he's like, okay, Lord, what do you have for me today? Could this be the day the Messiah is revealed to me? Meanwhile, there's a couple just on their way to do a normal thing, like going to the doctor's office, or running an errand, and here's Joseph and Mary with their baby. And they're entering into the temple, right? They're entering into the temple, and they're just on their way to go to the temple that day, and Simeon sees them. And Simeon is thinking to himself, that child looks different. That's the Messiah. Oh, this is what I've been waiting for. And the Holy Spirit reveals, oh, that's Jesus. That's the Messiah. That's the one that's going to come. And I can imagine he's like, oh, how do I tell them? Like, what do I do? Oh. And I imagine Simeon just like kind of went up to him and said, hey, can I hold your baby? Now, Joseph and Mary had no idea what was going on. They didn't go there for a specific encounter with Simeon. They just went to the temple, and here's this moment that God had for Mary and Joseph. And he begins to speak this beautiful saying in verse 29. And Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He's like, now I can go home. I can go home to be with you. Take me home. I've waited long enough. According to your words, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel. It says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. In Hebrew, that word salvation is Yeshua. It would have said, my eyes have seen your Yeshua. Your Yeshua. You see, salvation is not just a thing, it's a person, Jesus. Salvation. Simeon begins to think like, oh, salvation has come to our nation. Salvation has come to my people, the Jews. Because he was a devout Jew, and he was thinking, oh, it's all about us. It's all about the Jews. And yet he goes on and he says, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. Salvation for the world. That would have been a shocker for Simeon. What? What did I just say? He would have been shocked by his own words. What do you mean salvation for the world? For the Gentiles. Verse 32, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Let me talk about the last piece of verse 31. It says, of all peoples. This actually means all ethnic groups. Every tribe, nation, people, language. Do you know how many languages, people, ethne are out in the world today? 17,000 people groups. 17,000, not 7,000, 17,000 people groups today. And God is saying, I've come for every one of them because they're special to me. Revelation talks about every tribe, nation, people being around the throne of God, speaking in their language before the throne, before the Lamb of God. A beautiful day that's coming. And Simeon begins to speak these words to Joseph and Mary on an ordinary day. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. You see, Jesus is God's flashlight, shining it into the darkness of this world and into the darkness of our lives to light us up. And if the light of Jesus has come, you know it because salvation has hit your heart. And oh, what a day that was for each one of us. Amen? There was a man that was diving on the coast of Hawaii. And he was near Oahu, and he was off of the coast, and he was in his diving line came off. And so he thought he was tethered to wherever he was tethered to, and yet he wasn't. And so he was off and lost, and then he was, you know, diving somewhere and got himself lost. And the Coast Guard had to go and look for him. His name was Ron Tubbs, and he began to, you know, he tells a story of he began to freak out. He believed that he wasn't going to be rescued because he was out in the middle of the water, and the Coast Guard was pretty concerned because the day had gotten away from them, and it got dark, and it was in the middle of the night, and the helicopter was going out and surrounding the water, and he had brought with him a flashlight in his stuff, and he began to light that up and shine it, and it was the very thing that saved his life, that flashlight. Jesus is the flashlight that needs to save this world. He is our salvation. He is everything that we need. And he goes on and he says, the glory of your people Israel. What's the word glory mean? What is the glory of Israel? What is he saying? Well, if you think about the glory of Colorado Springs, if you think about what is the glory of Colorado Springs, it's Pikes Peak, right? Everybody knows when you come into Colorado Springs, that's what you see. It is the glory of our city. And what Simeon is saying is Jesus is the glory of Israel. Jesus. I wish that were the truth for the Jews today. A lot of them don't believe that, do they? A lot of them don't believe that Jesus is the glory of Israel. But one day they will know, and hopefully they will know it soon. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Meaning they were astounded, marveled of what Simeon had just spoken over Jesus' life and the things that he was saying. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let me share that in another translation, because I think it gives it maybe a clearer understanding. But it says this, a sword shall pierce your soul, for your child shall be rejected by many in Israel, and this to their undoing. but he will be the greatest joy of many others, and the deepest thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. Meaning, there are going to be some that hate your son. Some that are going to reject your son, this little boy that lays in your arms, Mary and Joseph, but there were going to be some that love him the greatest. And that's true today, isn't it? We can go out into any social area in our city, and we can proclaim the name of Jesus, and some will say, oh, I know him. He's changed my life. And others will be like, get away. I don't want to hear that. It is a stark reality in our society that there is light and there is dark. One thing that Christmas does is celebrates the faithfulness of God. Christmas, as we kind of turn to communion and we begin to look at the kind of the close of tonight, I want to encourage you that as you begin to celebrate Christmas, that your eyes are on the hope. Not that the Messiah is coming because he has come, but that he's coming again. And it's a beautiful, powerful thing, truth that has changed each one of us. And that hope is more than anything than in this world. It's worth more than anything in this world, right? That hope, it changes things. Because it's a real hope. It's a confidence of coming good. I don't know where you're at in your Christmas time. I don't know if it's been a rough week or a difficult season. But I want you to know, it doesn't matter. Because the hope that we have is enough for any situation that we're in. In any time of life that we live, in any season that we're walking through, Jesus is enough. And the hope of him returning for you and for me, oh, priceless. So tonight, wait well. Hold on to the promise that he's given us. The promise of his son, the promise that he is the light, the promise that he is our salvation, the promise that he's coming for all peoples, all the peoples of the world, and that he is the glory of Israel. And yes, they may reject him, but oh, for those that have obtained salvation through him, oh, the love that we have for him. Amen. As we begin to look at communion tonight, I want to encourage you in a couple things. One is we can't look at the manger. We can't look at Christmas without looking from the shadow of the cross. Because without the cross, the manger is not complete, right? Tonight, we get to take communion together, and we're going to break bread together. And as we do, I want to encourage you to remember the hope, to wait well, and to consider the promise that Christ has given us. He is the promise keeper. He keeps his promises just as he did with Simeon in this text. Billy, if you would come on out and as we begin to just come get communion in just a moment, I just want to take a second to talk about these for just a moment, because sometimes we just kind of rush through it. You see, Jesus didn't just come as a baby in a manger, but he came as our Savior. He came for his body to be broken and for him to become the sin taker, the one that takes upon all of the sin of the world, yours and mine. And I'm so grateful. Sometimes we don't think about it the way we should. Lord Jesus, thank you for being broken for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for being broken for each one of these here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation that Simeon spoke of, that is true in my heart. And if you're here tonight and you don't know that salvation, then you won't understand this here. But for us that do, this means the world to us, because it's the cost that was paid. And the cup, the blood that was shed to cover sin, the price, the life that had to be given, the ransom for many, for you and I, for those that want it. Jesus said, come to the wedding feast, come, I invite, come, all to come. But you gotta wanna come. And this is for those that want it. The blood of Jesus that wipes away our sin. So tonight, come and take communion with that understanding and enjoy your salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just look at your hope. Lord, we thank you for the hope that is in Jesus, that you're coming again for us and that you've come for us, that you are our Messiah. You are our Yeshua. And so, Lord, as we take communion tonight, as we think about Christmas, Lord, may we rejoice in your hope. And we pray these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.